a poem, really, in memory of my mother. We left Cork in the late 50s, like a lot of folks were doing, and went to London. And she never really got back. I mean, she got back from time to time, but I think it would have been nice to end her days by the Lee, but she didn't manage it. And there's a reference to Larkspur. Those of you whose memories go back or follow the races, Larkspur won the Derby in 1962. Very lucky winner, as some of the others fell, which is very, very unusual at Epsom. So Larkspur won the Derby. It's called Larkspur's Derby at Tom Sullivan's Shoe Shop. A good man, Tom, and he had Larkspur that year. His docket on the pin board unfolded looks like a faded post-it to me now, but can't have been. 61? I'll check. And Paddy Prendergast? 62, and Vincent O'Brien's first derby. Fickle, fickle. Tom's shop was on the bridge, the wheelstone side of Harrow, a lived-in leather-smelling space, decrepit shoes to fix in democratic piles, done pairs parcelled, stapled, labelled, filed in individual cubby holes. He let you shine old pennies warm on the buffer. Paired down blades sent offcuts flying across the floor. A place of solace and repair for an Irish wife uprooted and unsure in Middlesex midlife. Tom, with his grooved face and oiled grey hair, was ever unassuming, quiet voice. A foil for my curious, dissatisfied dad, who, with all the evidence to hand, could not cut through.
Next up, can we have, like, share one name? Andy!
Hi guys, I'm Andy from Slovakia, for those who doesn't know. Generally, I'm not in poetry club, but I'm a singer-songwriter, so it was very close, you know, linked with the music and stuff like that. This is my new coming album song. It's called Flying By. So it would be in C major. Do you know C major? C major, okay. So it's usually most people, they don't know what is C major. C major in music, it's very grounding energy. It's good, you know, it grounds you and keeps you, you know, like 2 feet on the ground. So this is called Flying By. Out of my comfort zone, soaked from the rain to the bones. I'm meeting people I never met before. Friendly interaction feels like stepping out of front of the door. The piano strings and the hammers on the beat, Mozart concerto in E flat, that's really neat. Harmonies are singing in my head. I'm not surprised, I just got up from my bed. The chorus, that was first verse. You know? So in a music you have a verse and chorus. That's first structure, so this one is in AB. So just let you know. Chorus sounds like this. All those days, they're just flying by. Sometimes I don't care when the time just flies. But I got my way to the music tour. I take my time with the things in life when they occur. The repeats, chorus, second verse. And the river slowly showing me the path. I know here is the point where I need to be smart. The season changes. The summer is for sure gone. All I really want is to have with the music fun. The music sheets with a lot of music notes, which are smooth. I know the feeling when I feel really good. The rock beat deep down in my bones is soft. Shake it up the rhythm, and I nicely ride behind the lines thought. Chorus. And all those days, they're just flying by. Sometimes I don't care when the time just flies. But I got my way to the music tour and take my time with the things in life when they occur. Thank you, a wonderful audience, and this girl, she definitely deserves like a fantastic reward as a clap, you know, so I'm giving an extra clap. Yeah.
Yeah. very much, Andy. So next, can we have Fergus Costello?
Thank you very much. Repeating Andy, thank you very much, Karen. Absolutely slayed me. You did so, you did. I'll require serious therapy. And I'm not the only one, but that's good. That's good. It's called open heart, open soul surgery. Wonderful. Now, I am overcome with excitement. Why is that, Fergus? Because I've just been reading the latest leaflet from Lidl. And I can't wait for Thursday. It's going to be like Christmas Day. I'll be first in the queue, way ahead of you, next Thursday. I'm going to buy me a drum kit. It's a pity I can't play it. I'm going to buy an electric guitar, a sat nav for my car. I'm going to go far. I'm going to form a rock band with two Polish fellas that work at the checkout. Their English isn't great. Seriously, it's not great. They haven't got a note. Seriously, they're tone deaf. But I don't care. Why is that, Fergus? Because they've got sisters. And they're all fine things. They've never even heard of horselips. But, like I said before, I don't care. We're going to call ourselves Thursday's Band. We'll be very enigmatic. We'll play grabbing by the nuts, cutting edge stuff. We'll be outrageous. We'll write our own lyrics, mostly in Icelandic. With a little bit of Latvian thrown in for the crack, we'll be groundbreakers. And we'll perform wearing wetsuits with steel-tipped workers' boots. Thermal vests with the name of the band written on our chests in indelible markers. And the girls will wear cycling shorts with thermal socks, fisherman's hats, plastic mats and sunglasses. We will be so iconic. We'll do a massive tour of Europe. And I bring along the sat-nav because I'm not stupid. We'll be big in Belarus, bigger in Berlin, huge in Herzegovina. And we'll go on to conquer Poland and Lithuania, but we won't disappear up around yin yams with arrogance and pride. We'll all stay firmly grounded. We won't forget where we came from and our humble beginnings. No matter where we are, we'll always do our shopping you know where. And we'll record our own album on a voice recorder costing only $9.99. And we'll distribute our album all across Europe in a store near you. When's that, Fergus? Next Thursday.
Fantastic. Can we have Stanley Knott, please?
Thanks, John. Note to self. That's not the name of the poem. Note to self. If you're going to put your name down after Fergus Costello, bring a funny fucking poem. Lesson learned. Okay, so this poem, the first, I'm going to say the first four lines of this, Fergus reckons is a poem in itself, but I'm not one for taking good advice, so I've written another, I don't know, 20 fucking lines. And that's as funny as it gets. It's untitled at the moment, actually. Oh no, it's not. It's called, Jesus Christ, it's called Atmosphere. Isolation in a lonely place and the eternal incubation of failures is no good for me. Something must break this isolation, the fractured atmosphere that box these days. Something must break the eternal incubation of failures, this 24-hour atrocity exhibition, this wilderness of heart and soul. Something must break. I'm living in an ice age, where dead souls pass over decades of disorder until I remember nothing. No love, no insight, no chance. Something must draw me back to the sound of music, pleasures, an ideal for living. Something must break the colony of shadows playing permanent auto-suggestion transmissions of the kill ceremony. Something must draw me closer to a new dawn, a means to an end. Something must draw me within sight of substance, or something will fade until totally still.
Thank you, Stan. Next, can we have Jack Shortland?
Thanks, Jim. This is a bit unusual for me because it's in a voice, it's not my own voice. I actually did it in 2014 for a 5-word challenge, and the words were Falcon, Apocalyptic, Ordinary, Lamb, and Lucid, just for your information. The voice is, it's a man, right? It's a Cork man. The 40s, and around the 40s. I call it Drunk and Disordinary. Not a mind the other night, and I tried to get Sully home. He was apocalyptic with the drink. I got covered. And here's me, no spring turkey, holding him up, and he emancipating on and on over Baldy and the darts. You know the way he gets over it. Well, whatever I said, he got very bad like, and took off down on Republic Street with three chiefs to the wind, and he's shouting infinities at the buskers with his two fists up like a young fella air guitaring. And nothing would do money to take on the GPO and bait his head off the wall. And if he did, here he's down out cold like a prize fighter winning the medal. You know yourself, like. Drama then would have won wanting to call the ambulance. And she not looking at him with his head split open. How's he breathing? God only knows, girl. Is he lucid? Lucid? I'm the one going to lose it. The sacrilegious lamb being hauled off for drunk and disordinary. Get up, Sully, for fuck's sake. Leave him down, says your one. No argument. You know her type. So anyway, thanks be to God and his holy brother. Just and I hear her unto the guards. Here's me boyo up again, not bothering him, and he looking for chips. 'Twas like the falcon rising from the ashes. I'm not cutting. The phoenix. What? The phoenix rising from the ashes. All right, yeah.
Thank you, John. And next we have Rab Urquhart.
This is chapter 3 in an occasional series of my girlfriend saying, have you written any poems yet? I'm going, no, I'm writing songs. This is Get Down Boy. Get down boy, lower and cower. Get down boy, feel my power. Get down boy, lower and cower. Lie down boy, lower and cower. The battlefield cries, this trouble is beautiful. Torn and tempted, pulled between stools in the lavatory of your mind. Sunrise and morning speaks of open skies and warm fluffy clouds sail by. What is it, Mama?
Get down.
No, there's another bit there, isn't there?
Just go back into the forest.
No, it doesn't. Does it? we need the music anyway.
There's a riff
and then there's... Get down boy, lower and cower. Lie down boy, feel my power.
Oh, I know that song.
Get down boy, lower and cower. Lie down boy, feel my power. The battlefield cries, this trouble is beautiful. I heard the news, they said you died, and yet I cried, I don't know why, I don't feel satisfied. Get down boy, lower and cower. Lie down boy, feel my power. The battlefield cries, this trouble is beautiful.
happy birthday to Rab tomorrow. Okay, next can we have Charles Clark?
This closes to the top. I read it on the 9th of the 11th, 2013. It's quite brief. As close as I got to Vegas. I'm in the front row goal line seat at the English match, Landown Road. Behind are a group of Trinity men. A silver pass, Lask. Passed and refused. Samuel Beckett is not seeing much of
the play. Thank you, Charles. And the next we have Sue Blue.
Thanks very much. I'm going to try and follow the emotional depth of what has been delivered. I dug out a piece, I'm doing my write-ups at the moment, so I dug out a piece and finished it that was written in September 2016. And it's some poems, but beyond the title, carry a little note, and this here says, prayer after receiving a second shot at survival, colon, diagnosis breast cancer. So, this is what came out when I had that diagnosis. Unafraid. From this earth I have come, and to this earth I shall return. Unafraid, unafraid, unafraid. And may my spirit on the way grow beyond this earthly being. May I use this life with all its blows and chances to grow my humanity wisely, understanding, compassion, respect. From this earth I have come, and to this earth I shall return, unafraid, unafraid, unafraid. I have received this body for my journey on earth. It is here to be used and will be wrecked by the end of it. May I use my body wisely to carry me through, as life is relentless and fatal by nature. From this earth I have come, and to this earth I shall return, unafraid, unafraid, unafraid. I am grateful because I'm blessed, for I have found the love of my life in this life, and we shared many good years, as good as possible in the hard times we got. From this earth I have come, and to this earth I shall return, unafraid, unafraid, unafraid. And I will miss you while I wait, terribly, but we will meet again. And I will wait for you at the gates, wide open wings, a blooming heart, and together we will watch the younger souls unfold. From this universe we come, and to this earth we shall return, unafraid, unafraid, unafraid.
And next, for the first time ever, can we have Ethan Desmond? It's the second, but you all missed the first one. So, this is called My Father Canada. Don't be offended if you're from Canada, it's pretty self-explanatory. I like to call my father Canada, because just like the country that brought me maple syrup, I've never seen them. If he was a map of places I'd like to go, it would start at fuck it and have a brief sojourn at the Crimea River. He is the 9th wonder of the world, the 8th being how much money he owes me since my communion. I listen intently when people speak of their fathers, wondering what it must be like to talk to them. Fights with a father, fights with a mother, pale in comparison, when you're technically the same person. I remember the looks and the talk of the boy, feminine without a father figure.
It's normal.
Little did they know that mine was a world record holder. He and God have a lot in common, you know. The older I get, the less I believe they have even existed, nor do I seek either one for salvation. But do not grieve. I don't. The girl that raised me to be more ladylike than she is gets plenty of attention. And a card on that day that celebrates men who came back from the war, clinging onto that elusive pint of milk that so many leave for. Thanks so much, Ethan. Next, can we have Patricia Walsh?
The inspiration for this poem comes when I was 10 years old, and I was introduced to a word called homo. I asked him like what a homo was, and my cousin said, a homo is somebody plays in other people's homes. And I got whacked across the head for saying homo, and I was like, what's wrong with playing in other people's homes? I play in other people's homes. So it's called playing in other people's homes. Slapped in submission, blamed for the present. Playing in other people's homes, a fettered deed. Psychotic exclusion is all that is needed now. To disappear from censure or happy stasis. Walking through art of falsifying trek. Cutting slack in production en masse. Studying poverty, obvious to all but me. Holding my own through massive denigration. A slow coffee makes a happy hour. A defunct typewriter hugs the corner. A valuable customer moved on for sake of space. Except when it's quiet, free for all then. Paid through the nose for fractured coffee. Technological advancements saw the future. Tech visions of power never failed to excite. Under the camera of the eye, busy all day, shunted to the purpose no longer fulfilled, bringing to death all semblance of industry, complicated for its own sake, never to worry, Bourdieu's commentates in this environment. The pressure is finest hour, breeding itself, out of regression to this pertaining, eating soul, partying on the quiet, holding on to ceremony, this loyalty card replicated, on the fear of poverty. Voice
recognition, hoping for the mundane. Thank you. Thanks,
Patricia.
And next, can we have Amy Hughes? Bye, Karen. Amy Hughes.
Built on memories. Remember how we folded our limbs, shoved our noses between our knees to play hide and seek inside the kitchen cabinets? We pretended we were rats scratching the smooth oak that concealed us to taunt the others with their keen ears always listening in soft footfalls. Remember how we jumped from cushion to cushion? The floor is lava, you said, your legs scissoring over the brown shag carpet. I toppled onto it anyway, languishing in the make-believe flames, laughing. He was always the dead little boy, your brother, in our plays. You were the priest and carried him in a bedsheet shroud. It's insensitive to mumble false prayers, to giggle at a funeral like I did, curling my toes into the softness below. Downright sacrilege if the dead boy giggles too. Pop-up girl crushes flower petals to make perfume. Next page. Pop-up girl unfolds into woman. Legs unfurl from short shorts. Midriff bearing top yanked down by overbearing pop-up mother. Pop-up boyfriends, hickey hiding scarves. Bee stings. They say tattoos feel like bee stings. An annoyance. How could I know the Delta symbol branded on your forearm could signal actual change? I cannot pinpoint who changed. We can't play at being adults anymore. We can't play at grief. Too many die. Too much is lost. We know that now. Nothing ever truly resolves, for we just come to the end, then flip back to the beginning.
Haley, and next can we have Cedric Bicon.
The last time I was here, I was reading about a character named Keith going somewhere in the city. The surrounding world was being very colorful, and his mission was undefined. So this time Keith has reached his the place he was aiming for, and he enters the building. Keith smiled. The man at the desk and him had not met in years. For both their lives, like the way to this building had become way too complicated. Duty and the secrecy that it required was getting in the way. The patient man nodded for a greeting. The doctor started. How bad is it this time? Keith opened his mantle, displaying a boundless galaxy. Some stars dimmed as soon as the coat opened. Some others twinkled first. We cannot save them from themselves, you know. I know, but as long as I carry this guy, maybe some of those stars won't fall. We were like them before, too. You're right, the doctor replied. Show me. Let's see what I can do. He held the mantle with one hand, tweezers with the other. Some of them have taken to you. This will sting, my friend. In the obscurity of his office, he proceeded to pull from the celestial fabric the dots of light, which would evaporate in golden smoke. Keith had retreated into a corner of the room and had started to chant the pain away. The doctor joined in support. For every star that vanished, the room brightened. When the light was as bright as the midday sun outside, the doctor stopped. Dry your tears, my friend. Some of them must remain with you. Protect them until they are ready. Keith nodded and took the coat, handed back to him. Once on his back, he swept his cheeks with the back of his hand, bowed to the man at the desk, and headed to the entrance. Outside, the previously bright colors had lost their effervescence.
Just conscious of the time, so if we can keep them slightly shorter, just possible. So next, can we have Niamh Toomey, please?
Missing. While Demeter turned over every leaf the world over, I sat in alchemy drinking coffee. What else could I do? On the shelf was chamomile, lemon balm, peppermint, honey bush, ginger, orange pieces, hibiscus, yarrow, raspberry leaf, and all I could think was pomegranate when they teased her corpse from the lake.
Next, can we have Orla Daly?
It's gonna be so short, even though okay.
It's called A Pious Boy. it's not funny enough. My grasp on time has gone to shit. Occasions pass me by, I fear. Yet times with you, they stay with me. 7 days per calendar year. You loved your birthday, loved a day to log your own conception, but you'd swear the clock stopped, your time to play, and I just want your resurrection. An equinox, a solstice, pass, the darker months absolved you, to illuminate your wicked deeds, as your moxie problem solved you. Then Christmas, what a big to-do, Easter, passion savoured. Who knew the death of Jesus Christ could be so salty flavoured? I have to say though, Paddy's Day, you made a real impression. Who knew drunk belligerence could count as self-expression? Times with you were sacrilege. Religious as you were, I fear your godliness still failed your legacy, but for 7 days per calendar year.
Orla, and next can we have Ray Hanrahan.
Nice, this is a mercifully short one. It has no title though. We live in a world of narrative dimension. One word started it all, and a safe word can stop all the suffering. However, this word must not be uttered, or the freedom of living things is over. Flesh, blood, stone and water will just melt into words on a page, and the only free being left will be the master narrator.
Thank you, Ray. And can we have, with his own alien language as well in the signature, Philip Spillane.
Alien, oh dear. I'm just going to do a quick, put in context very quickly. So last week, the Opportunity rover shut down on Mars. And I was trying to follow up on this journey, and it made me very sad, and getting kind of worried myself that I'm to sympathize with robots and computers.
I am as well, it's okay. I lived that as well.
So I began to relate to it, and I thought we were all like little opportunities running into one another. But this opportunity was all alone. So yeah. Anyway, I read into the poem.
Is it me or all the cars getting younger and younger?
Prayer from Opportunity. The umber storm has ceased, and Mars' escape goes dormant. A cold remaining air roams, crumbs of sand forsake my bones, otherwise all is silent. The stones have called me the spiritual sailor, a shaman who sails in the patchworks of Mars. On my spiritual quest, I've roamed around gullies, crevice and crater, following the guidance from a signal from the heavens. But now, all is still. My body can't move. I can't listen. I can't hear. I can only look. I return my gaze to my dream line, fold up my bones and whisper a prayer to the stones. Remember, life is an opportunity. Even if you unmeaningfully wonder that you only ever knew in solitude and had to make the stones your friends, and all you ever had was just to find yourself. With that insight, in my mind's eye, I sketch a Nazca line to say to the guardians one last goodbye.
So cute. I'm sure it's in heaven with the rest of the washing machines. And next, can we? I love that robot too. Can we have Colm Scully, please?
It's interesting the things you see in Jed's toilet. you won't have to pull me from the mic, camera. I was in the gents. I work in a factory, and I was in the gents' toilet there recently, and I disturbed a chap in there. An Indian chap, a chemist, but he was practicing his overarm bowling, cricket bowling, I'd say. But that's what it looked like to me anyhow. So it made me wonder about things, what people think about when they're at work, you know. So I wrote this poem. It's a short poem, it's called This Morning at the Factory. Slow bowling in the gents' toilet. As I approach, he drops his arm, his mind deserting the Jodhpur cricket field for the lab bench and burette stand upstairs. On the solvent tower, a sample is taken. A lone operator raises his head. He looks out over Cork Harbour, sings a single note to the scene. The cleaning contractor vacuums the stairwells. The hoover glides across the floor. Before work, she painted her fingernails, the perfect seahorse on each one. The manager holds the door open for her. He is dreaming of heifers back in Kenmare. As I pass them outside the gents' toilet, the crowd cheers somewhere far away.
Next, can we have Jill Doherty?
Hello. So this is called Destruction of the Ego Mind. Little do we know who's really at the wheel, controlling your life and solely responsible for how you feel. Controlling the world in such a mass scale, choosing who wins and choosing who fails. Only free we are born and only free we'll die. What if I told you that is one cunning lie? What if I changed my diction from one of negativity to one of fiction? It would be closer to the truth, and this is merely a fact. Imagination is your true freedom and your rightful path. Let me explain how this works. First, we must call upon our subconscious clerks. As this truth that will share, you already know. Now it's time to feed it and watch it grow. It comes from detaching brainwashing beliefs created by the matrix to keep you attached to grief. Imprisoned in a casket awaiting its cue to lower you down to the underworld's pew, where you sit and you wait until your penance is true. It's time to ask questions like, why do we do this? And really, who for? Who do we speak with when at death's door? The source has many names across all planes. You choose your symbol. All represent the same. There is one similarity across all religion, and that is the God that you worship lives within. It takes the one leap of faith to take back control. The wheel is for your hands and for yours alone. I implore you to jump, pieces within your reach. Don't practice what I say, practice what I preach.
Thank you, Jill. And can we have Jamie Lawton, please?
know not everybody rhymes, and I don't know why that is, but all I know is why I do, and what it is about rhyme that fits with a mind that sits in a mire, mixed and attired with briars and sticks, a mess of conflict, looking like it can't be fixed. But how else do you start? How do you create your art? How do you write what can hit me hard, what is in your head and is in your heart? Because for me it's hard to choose the words to use without a rule in place. I need some limits, I need some constraints. There's too much I could say, too little that I want to. I'd rather not be talking about the things by which I'm haunted, but the caution that I guards my thoughts with drops and falls away. The diversion is what lets me be more honest. So what can I say that rhymes? What fits into 16 bars? Finding ways to make it hard, I can write what is in my heart, and I can start to pull apart the hardened part of me that resists being described directly.
If we can keep them short.
Keep
them
tight.
Keep them
tight.
Keep them tight. Two left. Can we have Kieran McCartan, please?
Oh,
yes!
Yay! Go, go, go!
Oh, all right. The party's going to be real short. I'm just
following.
Of course, we're going to try and make it rain. But come right down to the show. We're doing a show in Fionnbarra this time for the next 2 weeks. That play is called The Rate of a Ship. It was the second play that I wrote. This poem was actually in the first play that I wrote, which is called The Rooftops of Paris. I'm going to try and say it quickly-ish. It's called The Light in the Dimly Lit Room. There is a darkness in dimly lit rooms, so keep the curtains closed. The free-thinking mind it consumes in suffocating suppose. Its presence has a beauty, a soft scent like a rose. One might find it pleasant if they could get the smell of death out of their clothes. But it lingers in the fibers hanging from their bodies, numb, for they are so far away from what they ought to have become. So they carry their shoulders cowering, their eyes a weary glum. For the spark inside their mind sounds bitter on their tongue, and it gets them down to think about what it meant to succeed. The ease of their conforming has facilitated greed. They suffer in the thirst of an unnourished seed, unfulfilled potential and a want they've called need. And though our hearts are beating, it's our souls that bleed, for they hold in captivity a bird to be freed. We can't recognize joy and pains, our dull passions plea. Tell me, master, why have you forsaken me? As you sit there in office or at the foot of the ladder where you stand, what heights can be reached with gold and copper in your hands? And as though you discredit climbing's danger, you fall to greed's demands and cut ever-widening trenches in nature's land. And as you look out at the distance and strangely at each other, you shout things like, why are you here? From the bitterness in our own tongue, our quest becomes clear. That you could kill your passion, or that there is no journey worth taking for all your sense and wealth, but the ardent strive to find the center of yourself. For you could kill your passion and be in no mind to consume, or you could be a light in a dimly lit room.
Get down to that play. It's in Fionnbarra's, 7 p.m. Monday to Friday.
Monday to Thursday for the next two weeks.
And
1 o'clock on Sundays.
Also a matinee.
Eileen did the music. So
there's a matinee.
1 o'clock on Sundays.
1 o'clock Sundays. Okay. And finally, can we have Ben Burns?
I think this is the first time I've ever been the person to end the open mic. This is brilliant. I'm so happy. I'm going to, because I'm now the person to end the open mic, I'm going to do my small poem on the nature of time.
Yeah, hey, woo!
That could be very long.
It has the potential to be a very long poem, but it is actually a very short poem. The past burned down. Now is all we've got. Now was the past burning. Now it is not. And the future can fuck off.